How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, hey, what number do you think Paul George is going to wear for the Lakers?
Yeah, I guess that's actually a good question. He can't wear 24. Mm-hmm. So I guess, wait, did he switch to 13? I think he switched to 13 this year.
Did he?
Yeah, he switched to 13. So this was a horrible intro.
That's the hackiest thing like that. It'd be one thing if it was AK-47 the way Andre Kirilenko, and that was like the nickname made a bunch of sense, but do you really want to be known for being PG-13?
He's not safe for children that aren't teenagers, I guess. Like, his game is inappropriate, but not like that actually is a good way. If you were like assigning scales to NBA players, like LeBron James and Steph Curry, they're rated R.
No, they're like basketball porn.
Okay, so X then or whatever, but yeah. Like Paul George is about PG-13, so I think it's accurate.
Yeah, all right, I'm fine with that. So basically what happened today was Paul George did not make an All-NBA team, and as such is no longer is not eligible for the DVPE, the Designated Veteran Player Extension, that he would have been. That's the big one. Like, Chris Paul is eligible for it. Gordon Hayward could have been eligible for it.
Could have been, is not.
Yeah, could, is not. But this,
James Harden is, Russell Westbrook is, mm-hmm. John Wall.
Is LeBron? I'm sure LeBron has to be.
Yeah, LeBron's eligible for anything.
but that's the big one, and had he made that contract, the Lakers' chances of acquiring him went down pretty significantly, though. There's some conflicting stuff going on there. But basically, today's show is going to be, we're going to talk about that new information. We're going to talk a little bit about the amount of smoke that seems to be swirling around this story, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, we're going to talk about this new information and whether or not that changes whether the Lakers should trade for Paul George now or just hold off and wait for him in free agency. So it's going to be a Paul George-centric show, sending you guys into the weekend. But we are going to try to keep this as fresh and updated a conversation as we possibly can, because it does feel like throughout these off seasons that a lot of this information gets repeated. So we're going to try to do all that for you. As always, follow the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo codes on SeatGeek, Mack Weldon. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers to try out that great product for free. Make sure you really check out that product. It's a tremendous deal over there at ZipRecruiter. If you're looking to hire, I don't know why you wouldn't use that tool that you could be.
I know, as someone who is searching for people for jobs before, I've searched for people for jobs before, and it sucks, like, mm-hmm. digging through resumes and stuff, and ZipRecruiter seems to make that a lot easier.
Yeah, it definitely does. All right, so let's start with what this DVPE was. And honestly, I thought it was the DPE before, the Designated Player Exception, but that's something completely different. This is a huge payday. And it is going to be a huge factor on both sides of this. I wrote an article, and I still stand by my analysis, that I think that players who are eligible, like Boogie Cousins was about to become eligible for that exception, right?
Extension,
right? He was about to become eligible for it, and the Kings reported that they were willing, ready and willing to give it to him, or leaked that they were ready and willing to give it to him, and then all of a sudden he was traded. And I can't help but feel like that was the Kings asking themselves, can we build a legitimate contender with Boogie Cousins taking up 46 or whatever percent of your cap?
40%. Yeah, they were like, wait a second, do we really want to pay him this much money?
Yeah, he's already, there are a lot of people who have called him immature, and for varying reasons, we see how he acts on the court. So, you know, the Kings kind of asked, well, are we putting a ceiling on what we can possibly be by paying him that amount of money? And
even tossing all that immaturity stuff aside, they hadn't made the playoffs with him. And a lot of that is on the crappy rosters that they assembled around him. Mm-hmm. But you have to ask yourself, if we commit like almost all of our cap or a significant chunk of our cap to this guy, are we ever going to be able to build any type of meaningful basketball team around him?
Yeah, and I think...
In a small market where they probably don't want to pay the luxury tax?
What you're going to start to see, and this was the thesis of my column, was basically, I don't know if a lot of these small market teams, like, they're going to have that question to ask of themselves. And I think Indiana would have wound up asking the same thing of, in the situation with Paul George, of, look, he's a tremendous player. He's a tremendous talent. He's about to enter his prime. Basically on his own, he got them to the playoffs, which is something that Boogie did not do, though Boogie does play in the West. With all of that said, are we willing to commit that kind of money to this guy?
$207 million over 5 years George had been eligible for it.
Watch the conversations that are going to happen with the Clippers. They're going to have that very conversation this year regarding Chris Paul, and they're going to say, do we want to commit $200+ million to a guy who hasn't shown an ability to stay healthy? And he played 60 years this year, and he's going to be on the wrong side of 31, I think, almost when the
60 games this year.
What'd he say? Or what'd I say?
You said 60 years.
Well, he walks around and he has...
I know Chris Paul is efficient, but I don't think that he can squeeze 60 seasons into one season.
He has the temperament of a grumpy 60-year-old man, though. Like,
that's accurate. That's right. I can see why you would have made that mistake. Yeah.
But I do think, though, like, I would you agree? Like, if that's the big question for the Clippers, is that, yes.
Well, for sure. You have to ask yourself this anytime that you're committing this much money to any one player. I mean, unless they're LeBron or Steph or something like that.
And even in Steph's case.
Even more so if you're going – well, the Golden State Warriors are just going to pay him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like – if you're a small market and you aren't really a real contender and you're locking yourself in as that guy's going to be your best player, you have to fill in the fringes around him. Are you willing to do that? And I mean, it's an open question whether or not Indiana would. And I guess we may find out if George makes if George, number one, plays through the whole season in Indiana, number two, makes an all NBA team, we'll find out whether or not Indiana is willing to offer him that full extension. But otherwise, we may not ever find out if they end up trading him. Although, actually, if they end up trading him, the answer might have basically been no.
And to be absolutely clear, I'm not saying that Steph wouldn't be worth or will not be worth the crazy exception that he will be eligible for this year. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if I was a small market team and Steph was all I had, I would think hard about it. That's a tough... anybody but LeBron basically is who I'm willing to give that crazy extension to. Period. For
anybody besides LeBron, you don't feel as comfortable giving it to them?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Durant is on that level, maybe, but like, that's the fallacy. That's the flaw in this max contract thing with all of these guys, is that
some max players are better than others. Yeah.
Right. There's technically speaking, there's only one guy who's actually worth the max in the league, and every other team is fighting uphill who isn't playing that amount or paying that amount to that max player. So for a long time, it was LeBron. And not only was LeBron already more valuable than everybody else, but he wasn't even getting the max money. Like, I think this is the first year, or next year might be the first year, that he's going to be the highest paid player in the league. That has never happened before. And so that in and of itself, like, people keep on, you know, gawking, and trust me, he deserves to be gawked at, but people keep on showing this crazy affection for what he's been able to do in the Eastern Conference. That has a lot to do with it. Everybody is fighting uphill because of this max contract issue in the CBA. And what's going to be interesting with this DVPE is it's going to take a step closer to a free market. And I think for teams with Paul George on their roster, you know, they might say to themselves, even if he was eligible for it, they might have said to themselves, look, Paul, do you think you could take a little bit off the top there? Like, we're willing to offer you more than every other team that's out there, but could we maybe avoid $207 million over 5 years? Like, I think that could have been a real thing that could have happened.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think now at this point we should get into why. So we've talked a lot about how the Pacers, maybe they wouldn't have even been willing to commit that extension to him. But them not being able to offer that extension would seem to kind of put the nail in the coffin for Paul George staying in Indiana. Even if there was that report from Sam Amick today that the money isn't the most important thing to George anyway, and that if they had offered him the extension, he wouldn't have signed it because he wants to play out the season. But just if we're looking at this from a financial perspective, it did drop what the Pacers could offer George to around $177 million over 5 years versus what the Lakers or another team could offer him, which is $130 million over 4 years, which sounds like a substantial difference, but you have to factor in that extra year. And so basically, on the designated veteran player extension, George would have been making around $41.4 million a year.
On average.
And on the extension that the Pacers can offer him now, it's around $35.4 million a year versus the $32.5 million or so that any other team can offer him. So it goes from like a $9 million annual difference to about a like $3 million one.
Mm-hmm. And that's
pretty big.
And that's
huge. That's a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, let us know in the comments if you're making $3 million total per year, let alone a $3
And then also,
yeah,
you know, hit us up about Patreon. So yeah, we might need to talk to you if you're making $3 million a year.
Yeah, I would happen to agree. We would just be like locked on your name.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll change my name to your name.
But I think where we were going to go with this conversation next, before we get into, you know, the trade and stuff like that, I think for good reason, there are quite a few people out there who have a certain fatigue with the story already, even though it's technically, you know, really getting going right now. Like, this is... That today is the biggest development in this story.
Do people have fatigue about this story?
Oh yeah,
is that a real thing?
I've gotten people telling me like, come on, enough already.
Like Lakers fans?
Yeah, it was. I had somebody, which was kind of ironic because I made the same comment to you about Lonzo Ball, but somebody called us Silver Screen and Paul this weekend.
Okay, well, hey, you know, I'll take it, and you know, if you want to rename the site, like I said, we could talk about that, but. Yeah, metric-wise, I would say that people very much care about this story. I think you might have heard from a vocal minority.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's always a vocal minority that is talking about that. But I do think, though, for everybody who is actually still interested in this, I think the reason why they are still interested in this is because there's so much smoke around this. You know, there's always the cliche is always where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's funny how
it's called smoke, and then they're also called leaks, because theoretically, like, leaks would put out like fires and smoke and all that stuff, and there's just like smoky leaks all over the place. I guess
that feels like a really dangerous substance, whatever's behind that.
Yeah,
Like, it's just leaking actual magma.
It's dangerous for the Pacers.
Yeah, that's for sure. Just ask Larry Bird. So I wanted to talk, though, about the amount of smoke and why, you know, where this might be coming from. Not sources and stuff. We aren't going to try to outsource this. But just why there's so much smoke around this compared to the normal, you know, like last year it was Russell Westbrook with the Lakers. The year before that, it was, wasn't it Kevin Love? I think Kevin Love at one point was connected to the Lakers.
Everybody's been linked to the Lakers.
Yeah, LeBron at one point was linked to the Lakers.
This seems more real, though. This is a lot more smoke than there has been for those other guys.
And the other
thing,
too.
We've gotten two separate reports that he's hell-bent on getting to Los Angeles.
That's the thing right there, is that there are specific reports about this. It's not, you know, in years past, it was, hey, the Lakers are getting cap space.
They're going to have cap space.
Yeah.
Again. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not like they're going to sign Dangan Mozgov.
Yeah. So I think I wish there was analysis back then. like
what are they going to do? Sign Dangan Mozgov? Come on.
Oh my god. That'd
there's
be
no
great.
Way there's no way that cap space goes wrong.
Imagine like Plaschke is wrong often enough that like that would happen to him.
No comment.
All right, we'll move on though. But I wanted to talk about the specific reports because just today, we're recording this on a Thursday. This is going to run on a Friday. But just today, Sam Amick had a lengthy and incredibly well reported article, and this is the third of that kind. Adrian Wojnarowski, I believe it was yesterday, went on Chris Mannix's show and gave more information about the Paul George Lakers thing. And as this offseason matures and evolves and takes us every which way it might, get ready for the Bukers, the Dings, all these guys. Like, their editors are going to start telling them, hey, like, can you get any kind of report.
Why don't you
this?
Look into this Paul George thing? There seems to be something going on over there.
And it seems to be popular. So just wait for all of that stuff and where there's smoke, there's fire or magma or whatever substance Harrison and I agreed on before. But what's going to start happening is you're going to have all of these reporters digging on this stuff. And already it's been pretty easy to unearth interesting factoids on this story. And it's going to continue to get more interesting. What you're going to start hearing, I think, next is you're going to start hearing specific names that the Pacers might be looking for from the Lakers. You're going to start hearing things from maybe the Pacers side of this where they're going to start leaking the type of packages they've been offered. Just today, you had a report that the Atlanta Hawks offered 4 first-round picks for Paul George, and that dates back to the trade deadline. And yeah. all that is, in my opinion, that seems like the Pacers out there trying to set any kind of price on what they're expecting for Paul George, given the lack of leverage they have they don't have right now. Because as soon as Paul George didn't make an all-NBA team, their leverage went out the window almost completely.
Yeah, because they can only offer like $3 million more a year, and George is young enough that that fifth year isn't a real thing. He's going to get that fifth year on his next contract, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to get another year. Like, this won't be his last big contract in the NBA.
Yeah.
So that's not most, barring injury or whatever. But that's, you know, so that's not even like a real thing. So they went from being able to offer $9 million more annually to $3 million more annually. And especially when there are these leaks that George isn't that concerned about the money, and that there's all this stuff coming out about how badly he wants to end up in Los Angeles, how well known it is around the league that he wants to end up in Los Angeles. And that's the important one, because it basically means that every other team other than the Lakers is essentially being told by someone like, hey, yeah, you could trade for Paul George, but it's just a one season rental. And so how are the Pacers going to get a meaningful offer from any of these other teams? And then if they can't get a meaningful offer from any of those teams, how are they supposed to get the Lakers to drive their price up? Because right now the Lakers can be like, yeah, we'll give you like Dang. And I guess we could toss in Larry Nance Jr. And the Pacers may not, they may, what's crazy is they might not be able to say that they have a better offer, because other teams are, I think, are getting the message that Paul George will be just a rental for you. And so maybe there's a team that says, hey, we can convince him that he's going to like our culture and get him to stay. Maybe Boston decides to talk themselves into that. But there aren't, number one, a whole lot of teams that are going to be like, we're a Paul George away from contention. And not that the Lakers are that, but there aren't a lot of suitors to begin with. And then when all these suitors are being told, hey, he's just a rental, he's going to the Lakers, he's hell-bent on going to the Lakers, then what's their incentive to drive their price up?
Yeah, I mean, just think about the reports that are coming out. Like you mentioned, his camp is out there telling the rest of the NBA, reportedly, that he's going to go to the Lakers in free agency.
Hellbent times two.
There's the hellbent times two stuff, which is still hilarious to me that the same exact word usage came up twice.
I was looking for hellbent in Amex piece today. Very disappointed to not find it.
You hit a control find or whatever to see if that came up?
No, I was just scouring every word manually. I knew I was going to be so excited when I found it, and then I didn't find it.
That I really wish he could have somehow, you know, snuck that in there. That should have been his running joke.
Yeah, but then like a hell bent in every single Paul George report.
the other report that I thought was interesting was that we're now hearing the Lakers are being told not to include assets, right? And now
there have been rumors about that for a while.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the report today was that they're confident that they don't have to trade for him, that they can get him in free agency. And so that's the other thing, is if the Lakers feel confident that they can get him in free agency and all these other teams are confident that the Lakers are going to get him in free agency, then that's really going to hurt Indiana's market if they even try to move him.
Yeah, and I do think, while we're on the topic of, you know, who has what at stake with these reports, we'd be remiss not to mention that the Lakers could theoretically be behind this stuff, and they could be the ones saying, you know, trying to drive Paul George's price down, right, in the court of public opinion. So there's a ton.
I guess, sure, but a lot of this stuff you'd have to get from elsewhere other than the Lakers, because they wouldn't have that information.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Lakers could be telling people that they know that they're going to get Paul George for sure.
Right. So, I mean, and I do think under Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, the Lakers are going to be a lot leakier than they were under Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss.
They don't leak. We're trading Lou Williams.
Both for the better, both for the better and the worse, right? In this case, if the Lakers are behind any of this leak or these leaks or these reports, that's them using their public platform for the better. Like, I used to always get frustrated because it felt like every agent was always going to say that their client was interested in it for whatever reason, or that the Lakers had shown interest in their client, because that was a great way to get their client in a whole bunch of headlines, right? Like, there is no better way to get clicks than to say in some version of your headline, Lakers trade rumors, Lakers free agent rumors, LeVar Ball, Kobe Bryant rumors, you know? If LeVar Ball ever, like, really honestly goes at Kobe, the internet would explode.
Oh, man. I do not look forward to that day.
Yeah. Like Kobe says, you know, I like Lonzo's game, but I think he needs to.
And LeVar's like, oh, not love? Well, you were a bust.
Yeah. Yeah. LeVar's going to be like,
I could beat Kobe in one-on-one, too. I also think that Pelinka knows how the game was played, mm-hmm. or is played as an agent. And so I think that he knows the little ways that you can talk to agents and do little stuff. Kind of. I heard Eric Pincus talking about this on a podcast earlier this week. And, you know, like, agents kind of, there are these rules set in place for what teams can talk about and what teams can't talk about and what teams can do and what they can't do. But, you know, agents and teams, they find ways around these things a little bit. And I think Pelinka, as a former agent, will most likely be a little bit more willing to find and use those loopholes than, like, Mitch Kupchak was.
Yeah. And I think it's for the better and for the worse. Like, I think on the worst side of it, we get to it's not the greatest look when Magic is going out there and announcing that he's going to trade Lou Williams.
Or is it? I mean, hey, the trade got done pretty quickly after that.
And that 28th pick is going to be very valuable, like, to that, you know, that needs to be pointed out. But to the better is where, like I said a second ago, it used to be really frustrating that the Lakers wouldn't utilize the platform that everybody knew they had, except for it felt like those guys. Like everybody, like they were the ones who were sitting there in their office like, if only there was a way we could help our leverage in this situation. And everybody else out there is like, hey guys, we can use the Lakers as leverage and help our situation. You know, like it was, it felt like that's
how. Who sounds like that? Who was that an impression of?
Oh, I don't know. I generic agent happy to help his.
Generic agent. Okay.
Gen agent. I should have used Mitch's voice there, right?
It sounded like a grown up newsie.
Like the old school ones, the old school, like, yeah, on the corner, like extra extra.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah, a grown up. I guess that's what you grow up to be an agent after you did that.
Yeah, makes sense to me. All right, so let's move on really quickly then to what does all this mean in the grand scheme of things in our analysis, right?
What means does Paul George is a hashtag future Laker.
Oh yeah, I said it was hashtag future Laker confirmed AF yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was funny. There was that picture of him working out with Randall. And, like, I think we're going to get progressively, like, we're going to get photos of them working out together. And they're, like, progressively getting closer in the photos. And, like, Paul George, like, shows up to some concert wearing a Randall jersey or something like that. Like, it's going to get more and more like, oh, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to be doing this, or that this was going to make people flip out and speculate. Like, we're going to get all kinds of stuff like that.
Oh, just wait until, like, Paul George tweets out a clip of Larry Nance Jr.'s, like, Brooklyn dunk or something.
Yeah, he's going to tweet out D'Angelo Russell highlights.
Like, dude, these kids are for real.
Or, like, a Laker film room. He's going to like a Laker film room video on how Paul George would fit in with the Lakers.
He'll just come on our podcast.
Yeah. He's going to be like, I'm not locked on Lakers yet, but I'm Paul George.
Just get ready for it. Jeez, Ryu is... I have the Dodgers game in the background, and Ryu's throwing batting practice. That's great. Anywho, I do want to... Oh, the last little tidbit that I found interesting in today, and it kind of fell in the shuffle of everything else that was going on, but Gary Kester of Lakers Outsiders and of Silver Screen and Roll, he kind of made the connection of Julius Randle, I think it's D'Angelo Russell, and Paul George all share the same agent.
Yeah, I think I brought that up, but yeah, they all share the same agent, yes.
I didn't see your tweet about it. And okay, what I do find interesting here is, again, like the old knock was the Lakers aren't or weren't leaking or utilizing how they could have been leaking before. Like that was a frustration.
They weren't, you know, going around the rule book at all.
Yeah. And then now you have, you know, the increased leakage that's kind of going on. And then you have, you know, Paul George happens to have the same agents as Jesus Ryu. Throw a freaking ball at some point. But anywho,
very topical update, timely update for
if there are any Dodgers fans right now, it's the top of the second inning, and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about because everybody is hitting homers off of
keep them. Going.
But it's so frustrating. I'm just going to turn this off. I should have done this earlier. Stupid Ryu.
I'm not editing this out.
No, you shouldn't.
Anthony, you guys, everybody.
But what I was going to say, though, is that, you know, you had those complaints about not leaking and not going around the rules enough, and now you're getting more leakage and stuff like that. And then you're seeing Julius Randle and Paul George, who share an agent, happen to be in the same workout. Like, this stuff...
With other players that are signed with that agent, to be fair.
And you know, they were also pretty far apart, and for some reason in the picture, Julius Randle didn't have legs.
Yeah, and they were working out with, I thought it was funny, I didn't know what he looked like until now, but apparently they were working out with Don McLean, most famous for his radio war with a certain former Lakers head coach a couple years ago, which was one of the funniest moments of the season when they got into a fight about D'Angelo Russell through the media. But
yeah,
anyway.
That was incredible. But
Yeah, we're going to see all kinds of stuff like this throughout the summer, and people are going to speculate on it, and I think it's going to continue to hurt the Pacers' leverage.
Shouts to McLean for not only standing up for Russell against the worst coach in the history of professional sports, but on top of that, he got Paul George and Julius Randle in a workout today. Or Don
McLean, secret Laker MVP. He's like the World Wide West.
Yeah, yeah. Who knew? So we got to get him on the show. I think he's usually with Petros and Money, but he's actually pretty good. Anyway, I wanted to talk, though, about what all this meant.
And yeah, we got to get to the central question of this podcast is if we think this changes things. Does this mean that the Lakers are going to trade for Paul George, or are they going to wait till free agency, or like what's our gut feeling? So I guess I'll ask you first since I cut you off.
Yeah, well, all right. To answer the question, I'll start with just really quickly saying, yes, this changes a lot. Duh, right? It changes the levers that the Lakers are working with. It changes what they might have to offer in a trade. It changes all kinds of stuff. And for me, it hammers home, like my I've gone back and forth, and I'm probably going to continue to go back and forth as the offseason unfolds. But for me, it pretty much locks home that I don't think the Lakers should trade for him this offseason.
I would agree. I don't think that there's any – there's so much smoke that he wants to end up in Los Angeles, and he doesn't seem to be – the thing that I noted yesterday is that he's not doing the Carmelo Anthony thing where he's saying – and he has no incentive to do it – where he's saying, get me to Los Angeles right now. I don't care what they give up. Just make it happen. And he has no financial incentive to do that, to be fair, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. But he's not regardless, he's not doing the Melo thing, where it's like, get me there ASAP, I don't care what you have to give up. By all accounts, they're trying to tell the Lakers not to give anything up, that he wants to get there and play with these guys. And so that, combined with how much reporting we're getting on that he wants to end up in Los Angeles, I just think they're going to wait for free agency.
Yeah.
Even though I know we both said previously that getting the second overall pick makes a Paul George trade more likely, but especially now that this designated veteran player extension is out the window, I think that I don't know how much of an incentive they have to trade for him now. I think all of these confluences of factors are coming together that they're going to have a really good shot to sign him in the summer. So unless the price is just so low that you need to just do it, then they don't need to give up D'Angelo Russell. They don't need to give up Brandon Ingram. They don't need to give up Lonzo Ball or whoever the second overall pick is. Mm-hmm. Like any guy other than that, then yeah, maybe you talk about doing that just to get him in the building. But you don't need to give up one of those three things anymore.
Yeah. I was already like before, I think I was kind of leaning towards maybe that the Lakers should just, you know, get the bird in the hand because it's better than two in the bush.
Yep.
That's the way I was leaning before, but given all this stuff and given what they could potentially be, like, I think that's the other thing that kind of gets overlooked here is there's a huge difference between the Lakers ceilings with D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, whatever this, let's just say,
let's
hypothetically
just say Lonzo
it's Lonzo Ball.
Ball. It's
yeah.
going to be Lonzo Ball. We
yeah.
all know.
Yeah. That's probably one of the, aside from Paul George wanting to be a Lakers, the Lonzo Ball becoming a Lakers also, like, those are the two worst kept secrets. And
you think it's fair to say Lonzo Ball is hell bent on getting to Los Angeles?
LeVar sure as hell is. But what I was going to say though is that, like, we've always talked about, you know, how the Lakers needed to improve quickly and that they might be incapable of a long term rebuild, but there is a huge gap in what they're capable of with all of these young prospects in the fold and Paul George coming a year from now. There's a huge difference between just signing him with free agency money and giving up assets for him. Because if those assets could net you Paul George, they could also therefore net you a similarly talented player. Right?
That's like, true. If to play with Paul George or lure Paul, or finish, you know, luring Paul George.
Right. And I think, you know, most athletes don't think this way, so I don't think this is what's actually at play. But if Paul George is just that smart and he's saying, look, keep those assets there.
Paul George is sitting there on the trade machine.
He's like, I hope that's the case. And then, like, winds up being the greatest GM of all time.
He's like, oh, with my salary, okay, just calculate. He's sitting there with a calculator, not even with, like, he has his own manual spreadsheet. He's like, all right, with my salary and fitting into their cap space, then we could be able to trade, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Brandon Ingram for this guy, and okay, all right, I got this all figured out. Yeah, he calls Rob Pelinka back and says, hey, don't trade those guys. I got a trade worked out.
Somebody needs to Photoshop Paul George into that meeting with Magic Palinka and Adam Silver, where Adam Silver supposedly taught those two the CBA. Paul George was just in the background.
Definitely didn't rig the lottery for them.
Definitely did not. They definitely did not put an envelope in a freezer in that meeting.
Nope.
But somebody needs to put Paul George in the background there, just so that he's kind of like leaning in, he's taking notes, like what's kind of going on here. Oh,
no, I was gonna say somebody needs to Photoshop him into like a picture of one of those guys with the accountant visors on and like sitting there just like he's doing his taxes, but he's actually calculating out luxury tax payments and that type of, and potential trades for his future teammates.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
You thought GM LeBron had power. Paul George understands the cap, apparently.
This would be incredible. But yeah, I think it's worth, if Paul George has made note of it, great. But I think it's worth note for everybody how big a difference that is, that the Lakers could be able to get this guy with giving up nothing. Because so they could either use, you know, if D'Angelo Russell or Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball, like if they wind up not working together next year or whatever, you could still, you know, use those guys and be able to grab yourself a player of Paul George's talent level. Or, you know, when Paul George is officially in the fold, you could combine, maybe, you know, if it absolutely has to come to it, maybe D'Angelo Russell winds up not being as good as people maybe thought he could be. You include him in a Luol Deng deal, and you shed that salary a year from now.
That's what I was going to say is your other option, is you use them to shed salary if you have a guy lined up that wants to play with Paul George. You don't do that just to shed salary, of course. Mm-hmm. But if Paul George is like, okay, this guy's going to come with me, you know, player X, whoever it is, DeMarcus Cousins, whatever other free agent that summer, and he's like, all right, we want to play together. Where can we do a landing spot? That's when maybe you use one of those young guys as a sweetener.
Yeah. And
not just to create blind cap space.
Yeah, and like, you know, in theory, you know, Woj talked about that as a thing that could happen this year. I don't think that would be, or I would hope that it would not be a Brandon Ingram or a D'Angelo Russell going out.
Yeah, you would think that you could use less than that to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets at this point are so desperate for any kind of young talent, I'm sure you could convince them to take a Clarkson even with the increased money that he's on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to spend the money on?
Nothing smart, according to their team's history.
Yeah, I think they have like no picks till like 2030 or so. That's not accurate, but you believed it for a second.
I wonder what the highest number would be that you
could. Well, you can't trade picks more than 6 years out.
Oh, okay. So they definitely 6 years from now are going to be celebrating having picks again.
Yeah, I think I think in 2020 is their next, like the next time they own their pick, if I remember correctly.
Cheese and rice. All right, so we talked about the Lakers not needing to make a move for Paul George this year.
I've never been more confident that they're just going to sign him.
It's crazy. It's insane. Like at no point.
And maybe that's being a prisoner of the moment after all that we've written about it today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like confirmation. We're gaslighting ourselves or like a confirmation bias. But I don't know. I've never been more confident after everything that we've read and written today that George is going to end up in a Lakers uniform.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning, which is crazy. Like I said, these stories are going to get deeper. Like, you're going to get more details on this stuff, and that's the crazy part here, is that this is the starting point.
Yeah, just wait till LeBron decides he wants to join him.
But I do want to say, though, as the, with this as an option, with George, I think George speeds up the Lakers' timeline, right? Obviously, with him.
For sure.
I think that's not even arguable at this point.
Well, I also think that I think there is something to be said, even if they keep the young players, for them growing more quickly alongside other good players or mm-hmm. other good player in this case.
Yeah. And so what I was going to say, though, what I was going to ask is, with Paul George so, quote, hellbent, unquote, times two as he is, does this change what you think the Lakers' intentions should be this year? Should they maybe look to improve more this year than they may have been getting ready to improve otherwise? Like, Would you look to trade a Jordan Clarkson and a Luol Deng to try to get a little bit more cap space and be able to sign either somebody, a marginal free agent this year to improve the team, or get ready to sign two big names next year? Whatever the intentions might be, we already talked about the intentions towards Paul George, but what about what they should be looking to do in general for their team this year? Like, I actually think now that, I mean, we already know they don't have their pick next year.
Well, I think if all it takes to move Deng's deal is Clarkson, then I think you do that regardless of what you're getting back, unless it's a worse contract.
Yeah. Yeah, I would happen to agree. But like, do you think the Lakers maybe look into they obviously don't want to spend so much that they take themselves out of the Paul George sweepstakes, right? But yeah. do you think they think a little bit more seriously about, hey, how can we actually legitimately make our team better this year? Or do you think they just stay the course and get Paul George when they get Paul George?
No. See, I actually think they run it back with the guys that they have. They try to make these younger players look as promising as they can make them look, either for future trades or for future free agent recruiting and that kind of thing. I think that their focus will and should be solely on getting these young guys to show growth. And then also, for their own purposes, figuring out which ones of them they should want to keep around if they get Paul George. You know, which ones of these guys do look like real players and which ones of them start to stagnate a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I think I would agree with you. I don't think this changes all that much in terms of what they're looking to do in the immediate future. But I would also agree with your second point that this puts a little bit more pressure on the kids to, you know, really show out. Like, if I'm D'Angelo Russell's agent, he's the one who shares an agent with George, right?
Yes.
So if I'm D'Angelo Russell and Paul George's agent, I'm telling D'Angelo Russell, hey, my client wants to be your teammate next year. My client thinks Paul George thinks you are capable of some pretty big things, and that when he shows up, a core built around him and the current young core that's already there can be capable of some pretty impressive things. But that's only if you really put the work in, you know?
Yeah.
And even if
Paul George in real life is like D'Angelo, who? But, you know, you tell Russell that.
And I think the same goes for everybody on this. Like, the Lakers right now have a goal in mind heading into next year.
Well, I think all of these guys, regardless of George, have an incentive to show that they belong. This is a new front office that didn't draft any of them. The only ones that are going to have been drafted or acquired by the current front office are Corey Brewer, whoever the Lakers pick second overall, and whoever the Lakers pick with the 28th overall pick.
Yeah, I that's a fair point to make, too.
So I think Corey Brewer, untouchable, obviously.
but I do think, though, like, the point I'm trying to make here, and I'm taking way too long to make it, is these kids, like you said, they already have that inherent pressure that they have going on there. But the Lakers right now, like, next year was going to be like a happy-go-lucky, we'll see what happens next year, we'll see who gets better. But next year, you're also going to be looking at, all right, all of these kids can go at any moment if they don't show what we need to show Paul George and convince him that this franchise is going in a direction. Like, this trade deadline could get really interesting, because if, like, D'Angelo Russell starts slowly, or Julius Randle doesn't make a step forward, or Larry Nance Jr. doesn't take a step forward, like, all of these guys are kind of going to have a bit of a target on their back, because the organization, it's in their best interest to an even heightened degree than maybe with any other free agent target that they've ever really had. The organization is going to be keen on proving to Paul George that he was right to be as hell-bent as he was to come to Los Angeles. That's not the same situation that the Lakers have been in the last few years.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree. I mean, I got nothing to add to that. I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think, and like I said, it's that stuff I think was going to be there to some degree anyway. But yeah, the George thing definitely turns this into a pressure cooker, and we'll see if it makes diamonds or coal.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think this, I tweeted it out earlier, that I think the Lakers are going to be really interesting next year. There's no, like, next year is going to be a really fun, and honestly, the entire...
Remember when we said that about last season and the year before?
But I think this is the most it's felt like that, and I guess I said that too back then.
I think
then.
You also said that last year, but after, like, saying it the previous year, and then you were trying to justify it.
Yeah, but like my source within...
I've been scarred, okay, man? I've been scarred.
My source that's close to the team has said that the level of optimism that's around the Lakers right now is otherworldly. That everybody there just, they feel like they're capable of a lot more, waking up with Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka at the helm, than they did at any point prior. And now... You know, that's the definition of a honeymoon period, and that's how that's probably always was going to play out initially. But I do think it's worth noting that, like, the entire vibe, and people listening to this show right now, like, I tell me I'm wrong, this is the most optimistic. You just said a second ago that this is the best you felt about a free agent target, in this case Paul George, potentially coming. This is the best we felt about the organization. They fired their bartender. They improved their scouting departments. They improved their analytics department. Or they're in the process of doing all these things. The entire organization is going in this incredible direction, and I do think it's no coincidence that Brian Windhorst reported that the rest of the league was kind of pissed at how the lottery played out, because the Lakers, what, you know, when they get momentum going, is a force of nature, and everything seems to be falling in line right now. That gives us reason to feel like, you know, to feel optimistic. And the Lakers getting back to that force of nature type of power in the NBA, I haven't felt like that in 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of things are in place for them to finally break out of this rut at some point and start to show a little bit more promise.
Yeah. I would completely agree. So we'll send everybody out to enjoy their weekends on that.
Yeah, this got note. You pumped for your weekend, I hope, on your car ride home or your car ride to work or whatever, like get you through Friday or get you into the weekend. Like, we're sending you guys out strong this week. Paul George is a future Laker. I'm calling it.
I'm calling it, too. We just got to figure out what jersey number he's going to wear. Like, can he wear 6? Is 6 retired?
Yeah, that's right. He can't wear 13 either.
No.
Yeah, we got to work on it. Got tweet us your suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, good reason. Like, let's try and think of, like, a good one. Not just, like, don't just send us, like, 2 just because it's your favorite number.
Yeah.
Although 2 would be hilarious just to, like, show Lonzo Ball, like, hey, I'm the franchise star now. I'm taking your number.
Or if he could somehow wear R.
That would be great.
I'm cool with that. That's my suggestion. All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. As always, find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo codes and going to the special websites that we've been sending you to. Continue to support those who support us.
Seriously, if you're looking for people to hire, I don't know why you wouldn't use ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers and you get to try it for free. Like, yeah. There's no reason to not try it.
I would happen to agree. So we will talk to everybody again on Monday. Have a good rest of your day. Great weekend. Great safe weekend. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Anthony.